Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Here we are, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, hanging with you on this Wednesday. A lot going on. Big story still. LIV Golf, the PGA, now under one umbrella, going to be run by the Saudi Public and Investment Fund, and a lot of hurt feelings around it. You know, what happens to golf, Perloff, like in the future, 5-10 years down the line, I'm fascinated to see. But for now, it's that the Saudi money has come in and taken over one sport. And it's only going to be a matter of time until they're here, you know, trying to buy an MLB team, trying to buy an NBA team, maybe the NFL at some point, and maybe hockey. Like, this is not the first time we're going to grapple with this. I'm not naive. I know there have been soccer teams. I know Formula One has gone there. I know the WWE has gone to Saudi Arabia. It's not that people aren't doing business there. It's that it's here now in our country, you know, controlling one of our big sports, one of our, you know, I can't say a major sport, but golf is certainly one of the most visible sports.
You know, I've learned a few things this week that golf was struggling. I didn't understand that. Before LIV broke off with PGA, they're already having problems with their sponsors. I don't totally, you know, I wonder if golf was just ripe for the takeover. Is MLB, NBA, and NFL, who's more ripe for the takeover? NHL, I guess you throw them in there. Feels like, I don't have numbers in front of me, feels like MLB is running into some trouble because just based on the fact that cable TV is going away and a lot of the money was coming from that. So they all have to figure out their new TV deals and what's going on. I'd be shocked if NBA didn't get involved in this because NBA is a very international oriented sport anyway.
And also, we know the NBA wants to expand, so we know there's going to be franchises who are up for sale.
Right, and you know that they like money, and also
they
too
all like money.
NBA does it seems to me like I don't know. I feel like the NBA as a product is a little weaker than it was. I feel like it's a little less popular. It was big on Instagram a few years ago. I don't know. I just don't see quite the same buzz. Because I think they're going to hit a post-LeBron void. I think there's going to be a little bit of a downside. Is that being overly negative? I know there'll be another LeBron eventually.
Well, the ratings so far for the finals have been good.
But like 11 million for game one.
Well, nothing is going to be like the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, the grip that the NFL has on the sports fan of the United States is a vice grip.
I mean, right. But I mean, 25 years ago, Michael Jordan finals were 30 million. So I think that's real. I do think that the NBA wants to expand and is going to need this money.
Well, I don't think it's also an accident necessarily. I don't know if people in Saudi Arabia woke up one day and was just like, you know what? I love golf. Why don't we take over golf? I think that it's the fact that, I mean, golfers have like a council and they have like a union kind of, but it's like they're basically individual entities. You know, the NBA, you're going to have to deal with the players' union, with the NFL, that have to be the union. Mm. It's a little bit more complicated, I would imagine, than, say, golf or tennis.
Well, I think golf
or UFC.
Golf was, first of all, I think some of the people in power in Saudi Arabia are golf fans. I think rich people play golf when they make business deals.
A lot of business people play golf.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm sure this is the oil industry. A lot of deals are made on the golf course. So I think that was a tie-in with golf. I'm sure that, I don't know, have the Saudis taken over tennis yet, or people didn't even notice? I don't know who owns tennis.
Nobody owns tennis right now.
And I'm sure the Saudis have a big play in F1.
They do have a Formula One race.
Yeah, so they own these glitzy international sports. I think it's different with the American pro sports. But then again, what do they achieve? Say they buy the Cleveland Indians. Does that mean that they've...
Guardians.
Oh, sorry. Have they sports washed? Is that effectively, you know, what does that do for Saudi Arabia?
I mean, listen, they're not getting into sports for their health. And they're not getting into sports because that's the only thing they have gobs of money and they don't know what to spend it on. They clearly have thought this out, that there is a way maybe winning hearts and minds. I have no idea what the ultimate end game is. Yeah. Maybe tourism. Who knows?
But wait,
to improve relations with the U.S., I have no idea.
Is the Saudi National Fund going to buy one team, or would it be a Saudi individual who would buy a team?
I don't know. What does it matter?
I think it does, because as far as I understand, the PGA is going to be run by the Saudi International Fund.
Yeah, investment fund.
Investment fund. Right. So wouldn't a person buy a team and not the entire? You're basically, why would they buy one team?
So the NBA in their new CBA said a conglomerate can actually buy a team now.
So there'd be one Saudi Arabian team?
Well, there'd possibly probably be a front person. You know, there's going to be one figurehead, like David Harris, right?
Yeah.
Who just bought the Commanders.
Josh Harris, sorry.
I knew that didn't sound right.
Jets linebacker.
He was a good linebacker. So he's like the front for a venture capital fund, right? Like,
sort of,
it's not all his personal money. It's Harris Blitzer who buys the Commanders, and he's just the face of it.
Right, but I don't understand. There's never been a country that owned a team.
Yeah, but that's because the way that this works, I believe in Saudi Arabia, is that you have the investment fund, but it's all connected with the Saudi royal family, like when the royal family is politics there. Mm-hmm. So
would they?
I don't know what else to call it.
Yeah, and would one team in baseball be enough? Would it be worth Saudi Arabia's efforts to buy, say, the Cubs?
Well, I mean, you'd have to ask them, but I think so. I mean, if you want PGA, wouldn't you keep wanting to keep going? You know, Premier League? Like, clearly there's a sports interest here.
It's different, though, because they own the whole PGA.
Right. Well, they only own certain Premier League teams. So
right, okay.
Newcastle and, what is it, Man City?
Yep, Man City.
And they're not owned by
United is for sale. The Glazers own them, right?
They are, yes.
Also, big news today from the world of soccer. We got soccer news and we got golf news. Look at us today.
Oh, geez.
I know. What's next? Rowing?
Wake me up when real sports start.
Well, this is big. Lionel Messi is now going to be coming to play in the MLS for Inter Miami. It is now more expensive to get a ticket to Inter Miami's game with Messi for his first game with Inter Miami than it is to buy a ticket to game 3 of the finals tonight, Miami in Denver.
Wow.
Not surprising. Listen, I'm like, when is he coming to New York? Can I get a ticket? They're not even on sale yet.
So what do you guys think the impact? Is this going to take MLS to a new level, like Gretzky did with NHL, Beckham did with MLS to some degree? Are they going to expand, get better TV deals?
Listen, you want my 2 cents on it? So the interesting thing about this is Messi is also getting a cut, reportedly, of their streaming service deal. MLS went behind a paywall with Apple TV, Apple Plus, before this season. So he's getting cut in on that. What David Beckham did back in 2007 when he came over to play for the LA Galaxy is he got a cut of all revenue for the Galaxy. So he was getting a cut from every hot dog, every T-shirt, every part of the Galaxy, and also got a salary. And he put a clause in his contract that he would be able to create an expansion team. Ironically, the team he created, Inter Miami, who now is a huge success to the point where Lionel Messi was lured there and is coming, and he gets now a cut of the TV deal. So they sweeten these deals for these big-time players.
Nice. What does he have to do to meet the hype? I assume just be on the field, right? He doesn't have to win the title or score the most goals. Is that how does it work when the guys have come over?
Fans over there.
Yeah, like when Henry came over, I know he was good, but he doesn't have to be prime LeBron to make this work.
I think, so when Henry came, when Beckham came, they were at the end of their career. I mean, Messi's at the end of his career also, but they were so far past the end of their career that them being on the field was cool, but it didn't really do a lot for MLS. It didn't, like, bring the MLS into this huge explosion of a sport that they were hoping it would be. It was cool, but it wasn't. For Messi to really have this big impact for the MLS, he's going to have to be Messi. He's going to have to lead the league in scoring and win the title and be dynamic, explosive, and interesting. If he's just good on the pitch and he's just there, yeah, people will watch, but it's not going to take MLS to a new level. It'll just be there.
I get that. I would certainly watch. If he was in the finals match, Messi was going for the title, I mean, I think we'd all tune in for that. That'd be cool. So I think it'd be great for MLS if he was awesome. 35, that's getting kind of old. I understand that. I just worry. It's kind of like LeBron right now.
I, from the soccer fans, I don't think so. I mean, he just won the World Cup with Argentina. It seems like he's still peaking. Like, it is kind of like LeBron, where he's still at a high level.
He's definitely at a better point of his career than Beckham, Thierry Henry, or even Pele was in the 70s when he came to the U.S. to play soccer. He's at a better point in his career than all three of those guys were. So the opportunity for him to make an impact and a difference, and more than like, he's definitely better than Beckham and Henry all time as far as just overall all-time greats.
Yes.
He's on that same par as Pele. Him, Pele, Maradona, Ronaldo, on that same level. So he's the best player outside of Pele who's ever come to the U.S., and he's at the best point of his career of any of those guys. So, yes, this is the biggest, could be the biggest impact on the MLS, but he has to do something. He can't just come. He has to score a lot of goals. He has to look dynamic. He has to either win a title or make a run in the playoffs or whatever the MLS does, because I have no idea. But he has to do something impressive. Otherwise, it's just another big-name guy who came at the end of his career, fizzled out, and did nothing.
What about, and what's the Cristiano Ronaldo's not coming, right?
No, because no, he's playing
in
Saudi Arabia.
Saudi, yes.
He
signed the Saudi Arabia deal. So this is really, this is the focal point of the MLS for all intents and purposes.
Definitely.
Which is crazy because Ronaldo and Messi, for years, they were in Spain together, Real Madrid and Barcelona against each other. And then obviously when Ronaldo went to Italy and Messi went to France, there was still this rivalry that the two of them had. So it's interesting that Messi decided to kind of break away from that to go to the U.S. and not go back to the Saudi League with Ronaldo and continue that rivalry.
Yeah, I mean, I think there has to be, this is my two cents, and I'll parachute in from 30,000 feet, you know, soccer fan. I think probably winning the World Cup probably did a lot in terms of legacy, in terms of finally just being like, I've got everything on my resume that I need. And I think that the Messi-Ronaldo debate is a little bit like our Jordan-LeBron debate. You think what you think, and you're probably not going to get, at this point, you're probably not going to get swayed either way, right? Like, maybe LeBron still could have a chance to sway a few people if he still, you know, if he wins another title or something. But I think you're on whatever side you're on. And so I think with Messi, it was probably like, all right, what deal do I like best? I get in with Apple. I get, you know, I'm still taking Saudi Arabian money because I'm an ambassador for their tourism. I can have my cake and eat it too. My family can live in Miami. I don't have to live in the Middle East, which is not everyone's cup of tea, you know?
Right. As I understand, it's been sort of a clock waiting for Messi to come to MLS. Before the Saudi League came up, there was no doubt that Messi was coming here at some point, right? Because I've been hearing people talking about when's Messi coming to the MLS for 5 years now. So it was, you know, it just feels like the inevitable resting home for old superstars.
Yeah, but I think that he's old in age, but I don't think he's old in play.
But he's going to turn 36 in a couple weeks.
I know, but LeBron's almost 40 and he's still playing at a high level. Brady's 45. I think he's like these guys.
Oh, I don't think so. He would not be coming to the MLS if he was like those guys. I mean, it's the MLS.
No, but I think he can still play in Europe. It's not like the league's telling him to get out.
Well, right, but it's like Tom Brady wouldn't all of a sudden go down to double A just because of, I don't think Messi's clearly, I don't know, again, there's no way if he could dominate one of these leagues, there's no way he's coming to the MLS.
See, I thought it was more about money than it is about world domination.
I mean, he was making a lot of money for PSG and making almost as much, if not more, at Barca. Like, he, money isn't the issue for him. He's making a lot of money everywhere. So this compared to the Saudi leagues, the money is just so absurd. I mean, one of the guys was saying yesterday, Benzema is making 3 years, $643 million to go to the Saudi league. So, like, it's going to be similar, if not more, kind of money for Messi. I don't know what he's making at Inter, but, I mean, it doesn't matter where he goes.
No,
he's making
a
lot of money.
This is not, you know, soccer in Europe telling him you're too old, you're too slow.
Definitely not.
Right.
He scored 16 goals this year in France, and he was hurt for a little bit of that time. Like, he's still one of the better players in the sport.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, this isn't the sport telling you, hey, it's time to go to the retirement home known as MLS. Excuse me. This is a choice. Yes?
Yeah. You're saying his age doesn't play into this decision? I mean,
yeah, so it's not the sport saying you're too old, you're not good enough, but it's kind of like you're not what you used to be, so you're not going to get the same level of opportunities here as you would have 5 years ago or a few years ago. It's not you're too old, you're not good enough. It's just you're not really what you used to be.
Well, also, too, I mean, I'm talking right now. In 3 years, he's going to have to. I don't think soccer, it seems to me, it's such a physical sport. He can't be Tom Brady and play till 45. Has anyone ever done anything like that? Where, because Tom Brady did
MLS.
After,
I mean, Zlatan just retired and he was 41, right? at the very end. 855-212-4CBS.
Yeah, I mean, Zlatan came to the MLS. How many years ago was that? A long time ago.
Eight, six, something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I just find it hard to believe that Messi could dominate overseas and he was just weighing between Saudi Arabia and MLS. Doesn't seem like...
I don't think he would be dominating in Europe anymore, but he would still be a starter and a good player, but he wouldn't be dominating the way he did at the prime of his career.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the deal with the MLS. When Henry came here, he still probably could have played for a European team, right? Or was he even older?
He was also not nearly as good, and he was also closer towards the end of his career. So when he came here, it was like not many other opportunities. Messi could play for basically any team in Europe if he wanted to right now. He just wouldn't be, you know, best player in the world type level. He would just still be a starter on any team in Europe he wanted
right.
to play.
Right. I mean, LeBron could do that. LeBron could start till he's 50 years old, but he, you know, when you're at that level, you have to be the GOAT level. You can't just be good, right? You have to be awesome. So Messi will be the most awesome player here. I think it'd be hard for him to not be the most awesome player. I would imagine. Not that I relate much to Lionel Messi. I've never been that good at anything in my entire life.
You know this from which perch? 855-212-4CBS. Jay in the chat, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio, says it's an easy level money grab. MLS doesn't come close to any UEFA soccer league. We know that. But this is exciting, I think, for us. It makes me want to go to a game, I'll tell you that, if I can actually watch and see Messi in person. That's something I would never have an opportunity to do. I'm not going over to Spain to go watch him play for Barcelona, and I wasn't going to see him play for PSG, and I'm not going to the World Cup. So, like, this is cool. If he's going to be playing at Yankee Stadium with NYCFC, I'm going to try to get a ticket now.
Yeah.
Say I saw Messi.
Yeah, totally. I mean, they do exhibitions over here, hasn't... Like
yeah,
he's
but
played,
I never know
he's
about
in New York a bunch
I never
of times.
Know about them until I'm sitting in traffic. Like, why am I sitting
I
in this traffic? It's like, oh, there's a big soccer tournament at MetLife Stadium.
Yeah, I know. It's like, always MetLife Stadium, and it doesn't seem that much fun, but you're right. I totally find out about them afterwards as well.
Just like, well, that's going to take me 3 hours to get home. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. By the way, can we get a little update here? The flights from LaGuardia and Newark might be grounded because of the smoke that's happening on the East Coast. Man, I feel this is weird. It is very Mars-like outside, very, very odd. It smells like campfire, but way oppressive. This is what people in California, Perloff, have been dealing with for so long. You don't know it until you go through it yourself. It is awful. We had to pull out all the masks again and everything.
Brutal. Ugh. And yeah, I went for a run this morning because I read on the weather that it was going to get progressively worse through the day, and it wasn't too bad. You could sort of see I could see the Statue of Liberty from the river, and now I can't even see the building next to me.
Isn't that crazy? Sorry, the FAA says that the ground, it's been lifted, but now there's major delays, of course.
Correct.
But flights are back up. I was driving by Newark Airport yesterday, and I couldn't even see like where the planes were taking off. Just the lights on the side of the plane. Like, I couldn't see the body of the plane. It was wild. 855-212-4CBS is all the wildfires in Canada. 855-212-4227. All right, coming up, we talked to a best-selling author and columnist for the New York Post. Ian O'Connor has written several golf books. Amazing. We'll talk with him about the LIV, the PGA Tour, and what comes next, and how pervasive is this going to be, if at all, with other sports in America. And by that, I mean the Saudi investment fund. All right, we do all that after this quick update. We're back in moments on Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. On this Wednesday, we're across the country on CBS Sports Radio. Perloff, biggest story in sports still. PGA and LIV together under one umbrella, all backed by the Saudi public investment firm. And basically, the Saudis have taken over the sport of golf. For more, we turn to best-selling author and columnist Ian O'Connor. And Ian, you wrote about this for the New York Post. And why we want to have you on is I thought it was an interesting point you made about golf specifically was kind of ripe for this. And Perloff and I have been discussing whether this is now at our doorstep with Major League Baseball, with the NBA, with the NHL, maybe the NFL down the line. Do you think that we are going to start having these discussions about Saudi Arabian money in sports washing in this country with our four major sports?
Yeah, I don't see why not, Maggie. Maybe unfortunately in a lot of corners, but why would they stop with the PGA Tour? They now run the tour. And if you told me that or anyone that a year ago, that this would be the case, that the people behind LIV would be running professional golf in the United States, I would have thought you were crazy to think that or say it. So why not? They apparently tried to purchase Formula One for $20 billion overseas. They looked at WWE. I don't see them stopping in their pursuit to try to normalize and humanize their regime. And I think, yeah, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, if they have an ownership stake in an NFL or NBA or MLB team, would I be surprised? I'd have to say no.
Ian, do you think, based on what you've seen the last day or two, there's going to be any real backlash that, I don't know, Jay Monahan of the PGA or anybody regrets? Is it possible sort of the negative tweets I'm seeing sort of carries over and this whole thing doesn't work because people don't like it?
I guess it's possible, Andrew. I think if you look at what the Saudi strategy was, it was to weather their own storm with LIV, and they did that because this year there was a lot less said and written about the human rights record in Saudi Arabia and the 9/11 connection. And I think the public investment fund banked on that, literally, and it worked because there was less of that this year until Tuesday. And I think now that Jay Monahan has basically served his own interests here and allowed himself now basically a position of some strength going forward, even though his players right now are furious at him, I think that his strategy and the tour strategy is to weather the storm, sort of like LIV did over the past year. And at some point, people will go back to focusing on golf and the fact now that the best players in the world will be competing against each other more head to head. And that is what ultimately golf fans want and will get. So I think that's the way they're playing this, and we'll see how it unfolds.
Ian O'Connor is our guest. He's a best-selling author. He's an award-winning columnist talking about PGA, LIV together. So Perloff had a funny thing, and I'll just steal your line, Perloff, because you're like, oh, so now the best golfers are all going to be on the same tour, just like they were 3 years ago. Like, what are the changes that you anticipate are going to happen now that the Saudis do control golf in this country and the world?
I think that the team aspect of it, and I could not follow what LIV was doing with their team competition. I don't think anybody could. It was all over the place. Fittingly enough, by the way, I'm wearing a Greg Norman shirt. I just realized this is a gift from my wife. I'm not a big fan of Greg Norman, but he does make comfortable shirts, I'll say that. And anyway, I think Greg Norman will not be a part of this going forward. That's a win for the PGA Tour and the players who wanted no part of him. But I think outside of the team concept being absorbed to some degree, I don't think you're going to see that in every tournament. But I think LIV's legacy really won't be seen so much tee to green on Thursday through Sunday. And I do think there'll be mostly 72-hole tournaments, some with cuts, some without. It'll just be that the Saudis are actually running this thing. And it's amazing that they pulled this off in such a short period of time. They now control golf in this country and beyond. And that's an amazing thing.
Ian, what is exactly, can you explain sports washing? What do they get out of this by buying, say, the PGA and efforts to buy other things as well? What does Saudi Arabia gain from all this?
Just through association with successful people in a very public arena of professional sports around the world. You see them now at ownership in Newcastle United in the Premier League in the UK and interests really everywhere. And it's only going to grow. And I think they just see their attempt to normalize a regime that has been anything but normal, the atrocities of the past, and trying to get past that with a somewhat kinder, gentler image. I'm not saying it's successful. They think it is. And obviously they think it is because they're trying to continue to pursue this form of a sport washing, if you will. And so that's why I think if they could ever get involved in one of the major sports in the United States, that's a no-brainer. And I think they will pursue that.
Ian O'Connor's our guest. He's a best-selling author. He's an award-winning columnist. We're talking about the big story in golf these last 2 days. You know, I think there's a lot of people, Ian, like, we're not naive that there is Saudi money in other places in our life, you know, in other businesses that we use all the time. There is Saudi money. I mean, is this just because of how much Jay Monahan and the players, you know, well, just Jay Monahan, let's leave it with that, really leaned in, kind of tugging on the heartstrings and invoking 9/11. That's what's so distasteful. If they just come in and said, listen, that's a different business that we don't want a part of, and eventually they merged, would this all have been a non-story?
I don't think it would have been a non-story, Maggie, but certainly it made it a much bigger story. Jay Monahan did a very despicable thing. I think I've been covering sports for 37 years. It's really the most hypocritical thing I think I've ever seen. The fact that he used the 9/11 families as a negotiating asset when those families did not suit his bottom line interests, he ditched them and betrayed them and betrayed his own players and made a deal with the very people that he was excoriating players for making a deal with last year. So this one takes the cake. I really don't know how he moves forward and frankly lives with himself to do that, particularly to the 9/11 families, where he clearly did not care at all about them, didn't care about his players. And frankly, if you look at it, what he did to LIV golfers and really what he did to his own players, you wonder if the PGA Tour players and the LIV players come together and say, hey, we don't want Jay Monahan. Neither side wants him. So it's going to be very interesting to see how he weathers this storm, if he can weather it. And but right now he's obviously in power, and the public investment fund wants him there, but let's see over the long haul if that stays in place.
Ian, Rory McIlroy has been very upset. It's still upset, but is there anything actually he can do about this? Does he sort of just have to, you know, accept the new reality of the PGA Tour, or is there something that you expect him to try and do in the coming days or weeks?
Well, he can ask for $200 million because I think, well, Tiger can ask for $800 million, right? And the money that these guys turned down, Ricky Fowler reported $75 million, Matsuyama $200 to $300 million. I think as Saudi money is now being funneled into the PGA Tour, these players, Rory included, have a right to ask for a piece of that pie, a big piece, because, hey, we were loyal to you and then you screwed us. And we need to be financially made whole because of that. And that is going to be fascinating to watch. Okay, how much of this money is going to be funneled directly to the PGA Tour players who pledged loyalty to the tour and to Jay Monahan only to be betrayed? I think they need to be made whole in some aspect, and we'll see how much money ends up in their hands.
Ian O'Connor joining us just for another minute or two. He's a best-selling author. He's an award-winning columnist. So, Ian, for the New York Post, you're also working on another project, not to pivot too hard here, but working on another project now, a biography of Aaron Rodgers. Very interesting, a lot there. Have you been focusing more on the football side right now or more on the personal side, the family side? Because I think both are really fascinating when it comes to Rodgers.
What I tried to do in the past is profile iconic sports figures who have some mystery about them. Belichick, Derek Jeter, Coach K to some degree. I don't know. Aaron Rodgers is close to iconic if he's not there yet, but he certainly has a lot of mystery about him. And really starting to solve that mystery, I've gone back recently to his childhood days, his high school days, his junior college days, now pivoting to his 2 years at Cal, and then ultimately, of course, his career in Green Bay. And it's very interesting to talk to people who knew him way back when he was a kid who didn't have a single Division I scholarship offer and had to fight his way through junior college. And then, of course, the collapse on draft night And coincidentally enough, that was the first day YouTube posted a video. It was the day that he became the NFL draft's first reality show. Just the anguish on his face as he fell from what he thought might be the number one pick all the way down to 24. It worked out for him in a big way, which is why I'm doing this book. And of course, the trade into my backyard with the New York Jets did not hurt. And so I am now a Jets fan. Would like to see them win the Super Bowl. And have that be the last chapter in the book.
Yeah, I was going to say, how much more is to be written? You think that is it going to work? We have a lot of Jets fans around us right now. Is this going to be a successful chapter in your book?
I think so. I think the Jets, I have them, if I had to make a guess right now, 10-7, make the playoffs as a wild card, finish second to Buffalo. Maggie would be happy about that. And win a wild card round game, lose at Kansas City or Cincinnati in the divisional round, and then come back in year two. And I do think he'll definitely play a second year with the Jets. They'll be a Super Bowl favorite then that second year. But that's an optimistic view for a franchise, as I always say, has not reached the Super Bowl since man stepped on the moon. It was a long time ago. But I think Jets fans deserve it. And obviously with Rodgers here, I would love to see it happen.
Is that when Charles Mann stepped on Warren Moon, Ian? Is that what you're talking about? Or?
A little before that.
Okay.
A couple different reads. I think for Rodgers, fascinating, the family aspect about why they're estranged, and then all the celebrity girlfriends, and why hasn't he married any of them? I mean, all of this stuff is really interesting to me. Ian O'Connor, I'll let you get back to it. Ian, of course, is a best-selling author. He's an award-winning columnist. Thank you for the time, for the perspective, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Appreciate it. Ian O'Connor.
Yeah, I think you have to be old enough to understand that Charles Mann pulled, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I know.
I've had my day made. I think Ian was impressed with that.
Way to go. Yeah. You reached really back at the recesses.
Former Washington great. He killed the Eagles. I remember that. And of course, Warren Moon, Hall of Famer.
Yeah, well, so, Warren Moon, I remember watching.
Yeah, is it, by the way, I could hear the groan on the other side of the glass. 10-7 wild card and be a Super Bowl favorite next year. That is not what Jets fans want out of Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
10-7. Oh, yeah.
10-7. Jets
10-7 wild card losing the second round. Oh, yeah. That'd be awesome.
No, if you did 10-7, Jets fans are popping bottles of champagne. They're so happy. Running into the playoffs for over a decade.
Educator here.
I'm running naked in the streets with the champagne. Oh, yeah.
10-7?
Yeah.
Yes.
Here's the thing. There's a chance they can have like 12, 13 wins, but like as a Jets fan, you just expect the worst all the time. If they win 10 games, make the playoffs, and lose in the second round, I'm all in.
Really? Wow. I thought the expectations were way higher.
They are on the outside. I think for the Jet fan, yeah, they want Super Bowl. They'll talk about it because Rodgers is talking about it openly and saying the Lombardi Trophy looks lonely and stuff like that. But if you like really are a diehard Jets fan, you want a little, just can I get a taste of the playoffs first?
Just something. Yeah, we haven't been to the playoffs in over a decade.
That'd be amazing, by the way. Favre 9-7, Rodgers 10-7, and then gone is Rodgers in Minnesota next year.
You keep saying that. It's like you're willing it into existence.
Well, I mean, it would be uncanny if they had the same exact record in their first year. I think 10-7 with Aaron Rodgers, that'd be it. I know the win total's a 9.5, which I'm betting over on. That would be a huge disappointment.
Wait,
10-7.
We went through their schedule. I'm just going to pull it up really fast.
Oh, is that what it is? I still think like 10-7, like the Patriots and the Steelers and these average teams are right around 10-7.
I don't know if the Patriots are winning 10 games, but here's you start the season at against Buffalo. They might win that one. Then you're at Dallas, New England, Kansas City, at Denver. You're Philadelphia Eagles before the bye. That's like not easy. It's on paper, that is brutal schedule.
Yeah, I mean, 10-7 barely gets you into the playoffs, and you have you just paid $60 million for Aaron Rodgers.
I think you're just paying to get in the playoffs, so, and then after that, you figure it all out.
And it's definitely going downhill after that.
Maybe second year in the system, then you realize where your pressure points are. You make a couple upgrades in free agency.
Oh, that's always how it works with these older free agent quarterbacks.
I'm just saying, that's a generous read.
Favre had two good years, then he fell apart. And then who's the other guy who came and had one good year? Oh, yeah, Brady had one good year in Tampa Bay, one halfway decent year. I think 10-7 is a disappointment. And I think you'll feel that. If the Jets are 10-7 is not that good. No?
In this AFC, I think 10-7 is going to be just fine.
It might not make the playoffs.
I think they're going to make the playoffs. Listen, they could win the division.
The Chargers last year were 10-7.
Yeah,
they were widely.
They made the playoffs, and if they hadn't lost in such spectacular Charger fashion, maybe we wouldn't be so down on the Chargers this year.
I think they were widely considered a gigantic disappointment last year. at 10-7, first of all, Herbert was hurt, but I think everyone's like, this sucks.
Well, nobody trusts Brandon Staley. Like, and guys are getting hurt left and right.
Yeah, I think 10-7.
They never have healthy wide receivers. Like, the Chargers are not a complete product here.
Wow. Okay.
Neither are the Jets, to be fair.
The Jets are...
you covered the Jets. 10-7.
I would say if they're in the playoffs, no matter how it shakes out, I think the Jet fan will be able to look past anything else.
They won 13 games the last 3 years combined.
I think they're starved. They want to get in there. They want to see a playoff
game.
They
want the playoffs.
Yeah.
They're fifth in Super Bowl odds.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why Vegas does that, because they know people are going to be running to bet them, especially the Jet fan or anyone who believes in Aaron Rodgers.
And Rodgers is like shiny.
They just got passed by the Cowboys, sorry. But they're that's pretty high.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think the upside, Aaron Rodgers is paying $60 million for a quarterback and win 10 games. That's it? That's all you want?
It's not all I want.
The bar is set low.
But the bar is extremely low for this franchise.
You guys are dead wrong. Wait till this season. There are going to be more people picking the Jets to win the Super Bowl on ESPN than you've ever seen in your entire life.
They're probably going to have some egg on their face.
And how often are those people right? That's why you got to listen to this show.
Well, last year they all picked the Bills.
I could have told
there
them.
There you go.
And I picked the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Didn't I?
Huh? You did. Oh, okay. Oh, you're right every year?
I'm going to just start picking the Chiefs from now to the end of time.
She's on a one-year winning streak. That's the way you got to look at it.
I wasn't silly enough to pick the Bills. I know that team well. I understand that.
How about this year you're not picking the Bills either?
No.
Nobody's picking the Bills. Now you jump in, Maggie, and you tell us all. We follow you into the off that cliff into the Bills kingdom. No? I'm ready.
Does that sound like me?
No. The second you tell me the Bills are going to win, I'm ready to go.
Looking out from the barbed wire. Like, hey, is it safe to come out yet? Are they in the divisional round?
Samter, oh man, you disappoint me. 10-7. Yeah. That's what you want out of this whole experiment. They get more coverage than the rest of the league combined.
It's just they say it in Spider-Man. If you expect nothing, then you'll never be disappointed. Or if you expect the worst, you'll never be disappointed. That's basically what you've come to as a Jets fan.
We're kind of expecting nothing from you quoting this movie, because that was a butcher.
Yeah. Okay. Isn't it with great power comes great responsibility?
No. This was a Zendaya quote.
Wow. Yeah. Deeper cuts here.
This is the same guy, by the way, last week when you guys... Was that last week you filled in for Rome or earlier this week? My days are all off.
Last
he talked
Friday.
About how much the Giants are going to suck this year. They do suck, but he'd sign up for 10-7 for his Jets.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Giants probably are more likely to win 10 games.
I mean, maybe not, but point being, if they're going to suck and you're settling for 10-7 for the Jets, how wide could that margin be?
Yeah, right. Fair. Those two teams play each other after the bye. This Jet schedule is crazy. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We'll get to an NFL trade that could be in the works. You'll hear what one head coach had to say about his quarterback in just a moment after this CBS Sports Update with Chris LaPresti. It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question comes from Shane in Boise. Did you see McLovin was on the DA show this morning? You could submit a question by tweeting at CBS Sports Radio or at Maggie and Pearl. Use the hashtag AskThePros, please. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, did we ever. So Christopher Mintz-Plasse, who is McLovin from the movie Superbad, was making the rounds, promoting a new TV show, I think.
Yeah, this awesome show where the celebrities pretend they're living on Mars. It looks amazing.
Yeah, that's like today in New York City. Most of the East Coast because
the
of
red planet
wildfires that are blowing smoke all the way to the East Coast. It looks very weird outside. Okay, so here was Christopher Mintz-Plasse. Here's McLovin on McLovin.
We have a host here on the network called Andrew Perloff. He was formerly of the Dan Patrick Show, and his nickname is McLovin. Dan Patrick calls him McLovin. Do you know Andrew at all?
I've never met him, but I've heard about McLovin on the Dan Patrick Show. Yeah.
Yes.
Is he a good man?
He's a
McLovin badge well.
He's a great dude. He wears it well. They nicknamed him that because of a slight resemblance, I guess, to you on the Dan Patrick Show. Now he's on CBS Sports Radio with us, and we just call him Perloff, his last name Perloff. So maybe he's outgrown McLovin, but you know, certainly a lot of people know about that.
Is he stoked to not be called McLovin now? Is he happy to have like a new, like a rebirth at a new place?
A rebrand? Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah. Probably. Yeah, probably. Yeah. I think they tinkered with the idea of calling the show McLovin, but then the idea was, no, why don't we give him his real name out of, sweet. You know, out That's of some sweet. Respect. So
I guess my guess is he's just like a white guy with glasses, right? And like brown hair.
That's exactly right.
I mean, like, if you wore glasses right now, like, you could be called McLovin.
Yes, of course.
You know how my eyes, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. Exactly like you. I'm like, you just got the glasses and you got the white.
Yeah. Man, the real McLovin really cracked the code.
Yeah. Okay.
Every white guy with brown hair and glasses.
He's absolutely right. And he's been asked this question. Okay, this is before the age of Zoom. He would come on Dan Patrick's show on the phone and he would say, hey, we have a McLovin. He's like, oh, yeah. And he'd, like, say the same exact thing. And we'd ask him like the third time, and he's like, no, I didn't know that you had a McLovin on the show. I'm like, dude, we told you like three times. He must be so sick of other people calling McLovin. So I think he is even more tired of the McLovin moniker than I was.
Wow.
Did you get that sense by his question, am I happy to outgrow it? I think it's miserable to be called like McLovin. Yeah, I'm definitely happy to outgrow that. Yeah. You know,
I think there was maybe a tinge of not jealousy in his voice, but maybe a little bit because you can outgrow McLovin. You have your own show now with your own name on it. He's probably, I mean, unless he wins an Oscar for something else, he might never outgrow McLovin.
That's what I was hearing in that question. And he's actually a pretty good actor.
I mean, he's
done a bunch of different things. And I think he's doing just fine. Like, he doesn't really need the McLovin moniker. But I think that's a danger of when you're an actor taking a role that's too iconic early in your career.
Yeah, but how was he going to know when he said yes to Superbad that he was going to become McLovin forever? You don't know. You're not turning down any of that work.
Well, Michael Cera yelled at him. He's like, well, you know, you shouldn't have a one-name driver's license. What, are you Seal? So it was his own fault. Yeah, I mean, it is funny that I think, you know, there are certain roles. James Gandolfini is Tony Soprano. Like, if you play a role on TV or in a movie that's so iconic that you're stuck with that, it's probably a bummer as an actor.
To put McLovin up there with James Gandolfini is really something. But on the other hand, at least he's like, he's still getting work and he's still in movies. Like, Jason Alexander went through this because
with
he was George.
Big
he
time.
Like could not get other jobs.
100%.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Everyone thought he was George from Seinfeld.
I mean, Michael Richards on Seinfeld had other issues.
Yeah, definitely.
But Elaine is completely, Elaine, Julia Louis-Dreyfus is completely blown away that role.
She's won multiple Emmys for other shows.
Yeah,
and
she's
I would
great.
Say Veep might sneaky be an all-time great show, like on the Mount Rushmore of shows.
100%.
Mount Rushmore level.
Have you watched Veep?
No, and I feel then like I would clearly love it, but Mount Rushmore is, that's
dude,
bold.
Mount Rushmore, maybe. Top four is kind of hard, but it is unbelievable. She's got a movie out now that's supposed to be incredible. I think it's called You Hurt My Feelings. Have you guys heard about this movie?
No Hard Feelings. No Hard Feelings, I think.
Oh, No Hard Feelings? Okay, yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence?
No. Is that what it is? Okay.
I think, I don't know.
I heard it's incredibly funny. It's like somebody said, oh, if you go into a movie, go see Julia Louis-Dreyfus's new movie.
You hurt my feelings, pardon me.
95% on tomato meter. There you go, Mike.
Oh, man.
Yeah, she's an incredible talent. Now, the question about we could have been Maggie and McLovin, and a lot of people call and say that, but I think DP has some ownership of that. Like, I feel like that would just be robbing from him. And also, I don't mind not being called that all the time.
We also could have encountered some other legal issues with whoever actually made the movie Superbad. If we were going to put that as the name of our show, they might have had an issue with it.
But they stole it from a Bootsy Collins song, so I don't think they owned it either. You know.
Who owns McLovin?
Yeah, it's a great legal question.
They'll be teaching this in law schools all across the country.
Yeah, and to say Maggie, funny, our boss had no interest. He's like, we're not calling it Maggie McLovin.
Can you own a name? Like, if your nickname was Bond or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
Can you own a name?
Can I just name, could we be, I don't know.
Skip and Shannon.
Skip and Shannon.
I would do that right now.
Yeah.
We'll take over Skip and Shannon. They're not going to need it. Okay. Aaron Rodgers. No. Yes, Aaron Rodgers. That's what's coming up next. Aaron Rodgers, what is he up to? Making up new nicknames with him and his teammates. We get to that in just a moment. It's not McLovin. Get to that next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs.
Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.